This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean. Bold Venture. Magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Mr. Slate, I have...
What's wrong, King? You came back empty-handed.
But with my dignity bruised in two places.
Where, King? Show us.
Here and here.
I never lead with your dignity, King, unless you can make the weight. What's the matter? Couldn't you handle him?
I think the seafaring man in room 6 has run amok, Mr. Slate, beating on the doors of our hotel and screaming, "I am alive! I am alive!" In Haiti, we have an old saying for such.
I'm sure you have.
All right, King. What's the old saying?
Saying goes so. Seafaring man who run amok in hotel, beating on doors, screaming, "I am alive, I am alive." Don't mess with him.
Well, that leaves it up to the management. You go throw him out, sailor.
The seafaring man? Sure. I'll give him the old one and the two. Hasn't failed me yet.
Well, you're too eager, Buster. I better come along.
He's also very clever at throwing things. Remember to duck to the left, he...
Don't forget, Slate. To the left. Jolly type, huh?
Yeah, let's join the fun. Okay, mate, your happy time's up.
Jolly day. You sure duck pitchers good, Slate. You're a whiz ding. You'd clean up at a carnival.
I asked you once, real polite, mate. Now.
Why, you...
Put down that lamp. I said put it down. You did that keen, mate. Now, tell me what you're celebrating.
You want to share it, huh? Well, don't get tough. Just come on in and join me in a loud laugh.
First, we have to know the joke, mate. Then, if the wind's right, we'll laugh.
Well, it's all here in this paper. Go ahead, read it for yourself.
Senor Little Abner, I chuckled over this 2 days ago.
It ain't half so funny as the obituary where I'm pointing. Go ahead, read it.
Joe Norman, seaman, victim of a hit-and-run accident, was buried today at sea in accordance with his lifelong wish as a voyager of the oceans. He is survived by his wife, Ethel Norman of Hibacoa, Cuba.
Funny, huh? I'm Norman. I'm Joe Norman. And Ethel's my loving wife. I'm the man in the obituary.
Well, then why aren't you buried?
Yeah, it's a puzzle, huh, mate? Well, look, I'll tell you about it.
We're looking. Tell us.
Well, 4 nights ago... Yeah, 4 nights. Whoever was supposed to be me was hit and run, I was in Banyo's Turkish bath.
So you had a bath. So?
So they stole my pea jacket and my wallet. It was rolled. But I was too smart for them.
A sailor in Havana with no money... No pea jacket and tingling all over from a bath. Takes brains. Pretty brainy, huh, Slate?
Brainy enough to take your hotel for a room, huh, mate?
Yeah, we're sure impressed. Think a clever fellow like you could find his way home?
Sure, but what's there for a man? 10 acres of avocado trees and a wife who's bubbly with joy that I'm dead. I like it here, mate. I like it. Just the way it is.
He said Hibakoa, sailor. Let's go see if a wife's got a lamp and a window for Laughing Joe here.
You like riding with me, Gil?
Anything you do, Ethel. Anything you want. If it includes me, I like it.
Ah, the sweet words roll off your tongue. Much practice, huh, Gil?
I've had my share, you know that. Look, honey, doll, we're having a nice time counting your avocado trees. Don't whisper anything to spoil it, huh?
Well, a woman wants to be sure. She gives you a husband to kill she doesn't want to feel she's made a mistake in judgment.
No mistake, honey, doll. I'll make you the richest grower in Hibakoa. I got away with avocados.
Maybe I want more than that. Maybe I...
Tell me again what you want, Ethel. I'll do my best. My motto? Aim to please a woman like you.
Just don't get tired of me, Gil. You'll have to please me for the rest of your life.
Oh, it's no chore, honey doll.
Oh, the shade. Soft wind off the coast. It's a good place to tell me again that everything's all right. Hello? Is there something I can do for you?
Oh, would you mind if...
Oh, please. Please come in, you two. The sun hurts my eyes.
Thanks. Well, this is quite a tidy place you have here. All this from avocados? Just think, Slade. Next time you pinch an avocado at the fruit market, you might be pinching one of Mrs. Norman's.
I don't mind her, Mrs. Norman. When Zayla comes in out of the sun, it takes her a while to get accustomed.
Well, you're certainly welcome here, both of you, but... Who are you?
I run a hotel in Havana, Slate Shannon. She, Sailor Duval.
How do you Hello. Do, Mr. Duval, Mr.
How
Shannon?
Do you do? Mrs. Norman, when did you see your husband last?
Oh, you've come to talk to me about Joe?
About Joe. He's playing hob with Slate's hotel. Or is it Havoc, Slate?
Havoc.
Havoc.
I see. Gil! Gil, come in here a minute. This is Gil Lardner. He owns the next plantation down.
Huh? What do they want, Ethel?
It's about Joe.
Joe is dead. Everybody knows that.
Joe doesn't. He's a man who'd like to know.
What are you talking about? We buried him 2 days ago.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Norman, but how sure are you it was your husband who died?
What? Oh, well, you mean because he was so badly smashed up in the accident? Well, I knew him because it was his wallet they found on him. Joe's and... Joe's pea jacket.
It could have been someone else.
It wasn't. As soon as Joe would hit port, he'd head for the Banyo Baths, Turkish baths. And a receipt from the baths was found in his pocket.
Joe's dead. I saw him lying there. He was smashed and dead. Go away, please. Please, Gil.
You heard her. You get fun out of teasing a widow? Get out of here. Leave her alone.
Daniel Buono. Hey, is that you?
Brush this steam away from your face, Senor, whoever you are. It is I. Welcome to the hot baths of Senor Bano. Grab yourself a hot rock and sit upon it, but gingerly.
Tell me something, Buono. Do you know a man named Joe Norman?
It is chilly in here. A little more cold water on the hot rocks. Is it not pleasant?
Hey, look, Chico, I got a girl outside in the waiting room. She gets panicky when I take too much steam. So talk to me about Joe Norman.
Every time Senor Norman comes to port, he seeks my steam for his pores.
Let me make a suggestion to you, Chico. Did you roll Joe Norman, steal his pea jacket?
Senor.
Did you?
Would the senor mind moving his arm again like he just did? Thank you.
That is a large arm muscle this senor has.
From beating people over the head with hot rocks.
You have guessed it, senor. Waldo rolled Senor Norman. Waldo in person, while Senor Norman was in this very room. I, Waldo.
Who's Waldo?
My partner. Only he has now since disappeared.
I got news for you. Waldo's just liable to be dead.
What are you saying?
That Waldo put on the pea jacket, tucked Norman's wallet in his pocket, and went out and got himself killed in a hit-and-run accident. Buried under the name of Joe Norman.
More water on the rocks, senor. I am suddenly freezing to death.
So you come to the police with this fantasy. You do this to warn the cockles and bulls of my heart, Senor Shannon?
I do this, LaSalle, because there's something that isn't cricket going on among the avocado trees in Hibakoa. If it also warns the things you mentioned, I'm happy about the whole thing.
Tell him about the Turkish bath, Slate. Which reminds me, I've often wondered what goes on in the men's dorms in a Turkish bath. You sit on hot rocks, then what happens?
Glad you put the question, sailor. Then what happens is a man named Joe Norman gets rolled of his pea jacket and wallet by a pore steamer named Waldo who evaporates in the thin Havana air.
Please, I have told you. The man Joe Norman is dead.
Correction, he's laughing his head off in my hotel.
The man is dead. He was buried at sea.
Correction, he's not dead. He threw a pitcher at me. Maybe it's Waldo, the pore steamer, who's dead. Maybe it's Waldo...
Not Waldo. Joe Norman was buried at sea. His wife asked for permission to do so. We gave it. She identified the body to our satisfaction. You will go away now and stop tickling me with childish fairy tales.
Correction. We go away now, but we bring you back, Joe Norman. Come on, sailor.
Coming. Bye, LaSalle. Stay open for another tickle.
Come on, sailor.
Well, I don't know if I should. I just don't know, Slate.
What are you talking about?
The places I've been today. An avocado farm, a Turkish bath, police headquarters.
Is there a girl in all Havana who can say the same, sailor?
Golly, I'm lucky. Golly.
Before we throw that guy in room 6 out into the street, how about telling me a thing?
Certainly. Slate Shannon, I think you are kind, loyal, trustworthy, obedient.
Oh, cut it out, will you? Just tell me who registered him. You or King Moses?
Me.
Get the register. Let's see how he signed his name.
He signed it Admiral Perry.
What?
Only he didn't sign it. I did. He was laughing and happy and had his arms loaded with...
Come on. Admiral Perry.
The one at Lake Champlain. Not the one who reached the North Pole. Aren't you going to knock?
Hey, look, Buster. Hey, wake up. You're getting out... Sailor... Have a look.
Oh, I don't want to.
Knife in his back. Dead. Nah. You got a bright remark for the occasion, sailor?
Stars Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
To Shannon's place, come a seafaring man. Funny kind of face, done in weather-beaten tan. Kept on laughing cause he wasn't dead, till knife in back pinned him to his bed. In Havana, this caused quite a sensation. Question, who is killer by avocation? And while Mr. Slade, he in such a big dither, Lady Sailor, as usual, her face say, come hither.
Yeah, why don't you, Slade?
Why don't I what?
Come hither.
Ah, she said he wasn't her husband.
What's he talking about, Lady Sailor?
Who knows? He constructs his paragraphs very badly, King.
Don't you understand what I'm saying? She said he wasn't her husband.
Mrs. Norman did?
That's right. I was at the morgue when LaSalle brought her in. She looked at the sailor who was stabbed in room 6. All she did was shake her head no.
Well, that's what I would do if a man weren't my husband.
Me too.
And Buono, the boy who owns the Turkish Baths, says he wasn't sure whether the man was Joe Norman or not. How can that be possible?
Many things are possible, Mr. Slate, or impossible, according to which team you're on. According to how you are feeling at the moment when a situation arises, which could be possible or impossible, according to...
You tell him, big boy.
You didn't let me finish.
You're finished, King. You too, sailor. Come on, get out of here, both of you.
You're going to do it again, Slate? You're going to try to figure this out in your mind?
You heard what I said. Out.
Stop it, Gil.
I annoy you, don't I, Ethel? All right, all right. Don't you enjoy me like this, honey? Sitting on your veranda, rocking in your husband's rocker, sipping in the moonlight? You enjoy me, don't you?
Oh, shut up. Gil, you killed 2 men.
That makes me twice as devilish, doesn't it?
First a little nobody named Waldo.
Darling. Honey, I thought he was Joe. He was wearing Joe's pea jacket, dressed like Joe, came out of Banyo's.
And when I saw Joe this afternoon, stabbed and stretched out in that morgue...
I hate avocados, don't you, Ethel? Lousy fruit. Don't you think an avocado is a lousy fruit, Ethel?
What do you want, Gil?
Let's sell out. You and me. You collect on Joe's insurance and we'll get out of here. What do you say, honey?
I like that, Gil.
Ethel?
What?
You want me to sit beside you, baby doll?
I wish you would, Gil. Please. Please sit beside me. Oh, Gil, I love you.
Because I killed your husband? Sure. That's why, isn't it?
You figured it, and you're going to let the cops handle it. And you're comfortable, huh, Slate?
That's a nifty idea you had, sailor. Bring the ironing board out to the patio so you can press my shirt in comfort. So I look dapper when I go calling on Mrs. Norman.
You get 1 avocado stain on it, so help me, and I'll make salad out of you.
Hey, watch the shirt front, sailor. You're burning it.
Singed midriff. It's the latest thing. You'll be the doll of the,
Senor Slate Shannon?
Hey, hand me that shirt, sailor.
Come off it, Slate. The lady's seen gentlemen in strapless T-shirts before, haven't you, lady?
I see, but never a gentleman with such skin you look at that shoulders. However, to business, my card.
I've had the sun in my eyes. You read it to me, lady.
It says Lolita Nueva, Insurance Investigator. Available at all hours.
Says all that, huh? I don't carry much insurance, Lolita, but I bet I could dig up some for you to investigate. Hey, sailor, you're burning that collar.
Your laundress, she's loco, no? She's crazy, no?
Yeah, I get my work done cheaper that way. Let's go somewhere and investigate. Lolita?
You will investigate, Senor Shannon, alone. Let us say for 2% of $100,000.
Now, look, honey, you go over there and stand next to the crazy laundress, huh?
2% of $100,000? That's $2,000, Slade. Well, that's more...
That's the fee my company will pay for a discreet investigation of Ethel Norman because of the $100,000 in insurance we paid her on her husband's death. You accept, Big Shoulders?
Hand me the burnt rags, sailor. For $2,000, I'd investigate Congress with my slip showing.
Oh, it's you again, Shannon. Looking for a buy in avocado?
I want to talk to Mrs. Norman.
What about? You can tell me. I run things for her while she sleeps.
That's a nice arrangement.
I like it. She likes it. All the time, husband Joe was at sea, sending in the paychecks to buy the seeds for more avocado trees to retire on. All that time, I brought the sunshine into Ethel's life. Now you know.
Joe know about all this?
Ethel and me? Well, we didn't want to worry him with it while he toiled. I was going to tell him, though, when he got back. Poor guy. Run over. Killed. All before I could get to him with the story of his life. Time for me to go wake Ethel. You won't mind, huh?
I'll wait for her.
No, you won't, Long Nose. The gun pointing at your collar button says you won't.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure says that all right. Bye, pal. Nice avocados you raise here. Sailor! Sailor! Where are you?
Slate. Close the door. There's a draft. How did you make out at the avocado plantation?
Put your shoes on, sailor. We're going talking to LaSalle. Then we're going to the insurance company and collect $2,000.
Oh, for that I'll wear my high buttons. Go away, whoever you are.
Well, come on in, Mrs. Norman. You can take a walk with us. We were just going to see the police.
Gil told me he wouldn't let you see me, Mr. Shannon. I came here to tell you why.
I think she wants to tell us she killed her husband, Slade.
Oh, it's cruel. The whole thing is cruel.
That's a good word. Let's use it for the death of Waldo.
Who?
You know who. A petty thief who helped run a Turkish bath. Goes like this, Mrs. Norman. Waldo stole your husband's coat and wallet. In the dark, he was killed by a hit-and-run driver, by someone who wanted your husband dead. By you, for his insurance.
Oh, no, it wasn't like that. That's why I'm here. I'm frightened.
That was your husband who was stabbed, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. Gil killed him. After he found out he'd made a mistake. After he found out he'd killed Waldo instead. Oh, listen to me, will you? I'm frightened.
I don't blame you, the police.
Oh, none of them, none of them. Oh, don't you understand?
If I were you, I'd be scared of the police.
It's Gil. He's a killer. He enjoys killing. He enjoys it. And sometimes he looks at me and I need your help the way he looks at me.
Let's go ask him what he sees.
Is that you, Ethel?
Gil.
If you look up from that paper, Gil, you'll notice company.
Hmm? Oh, you too.
Don't bite your lip, Gil. You're dreaming the whole thing.
What's this all about, Ethel? Come on, honey doll. What are you trying to say?
She's making an honest effort to say you're a killer.
Ah, that's what, huh?
That's right. You killed Waldo. Mistake. Then you stabbed Joe Norman in my hotel. No mistake. Reason? A widow with avocados and 100 grand.
She tell you I didn't mind doing it either?
Something like that.
That's why I can't get dreamy about pointing this gun at you.
You really don't have to do that. Slate's not finished.
Rush me, Shannon. That way you can die in action.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly that.
Ethel. Ethel. Crazy woman. Crazy. You.
That's good. Gil's dead. That's good. He needed to be dead.
Sure. Sure. Give me your gun, Mrs. Norman.
Take it. He was going to kill you. You know that, don't you?
That's your version. I've got another one.
Shouldn't we call the police and report this? Gil's dead, you know.
You stay that way. Let's just talk about him for a while. About the promises you must have made him for killing your husband.
Oh.
Gil's share of your husband's plantation, your husband's insurance money. Things like that.
You're crazy. I just saved your life. What are you talking about?
Gil told me he never saw your husband.
He didn't. He never did.
Of course he didn't. So you had to tell him how your husband dressed, where he would go, so he could find him and kill him.
Slade, watch her.
Get away from that window. No, you don't.
Did you think I was going to jump? Did you think that?
Now, let's go, Mrs. Norman.
No, wait. And look at it.
At what?
Dawn. Isn't it beautiful? Beginning of a new day. It's time for wishing good things. Want to know my wish?
Won't come true if you tell us.
I know. Won't anyway. What is this? I wish there was some way it would make my new day a happy one. If there were some way I could kill you, both of you.
Come on, Mrs. Norman. Let's go. $2,000, sailor. Look at it.
We going to run barefoot through it, Slate?
Uh-uh. We're just going to count it and count it and count it.
That's why you made the insurance company pay off in $1 bills, huh? Well, you better let me have a bucketful of it.
Take a handful, sailor. What do you need a bucketful for?
The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. I got the list right here.
Let's see. $1,996. How many candlesticks did you buy?
What are you screaming about? You've got $4 you've never had before.
Go ahead, take the $4, too. I'm happier when I'm broke. Carefree, happy, devil may care. Vagrant is the trade wind.
Come here, vagrant. Did you like that?
Spiffy and smooth.
And how was that one, vagrant?
Vagrant, huh? Come here. Oh, I just found a home.
And so, our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the truth. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not. Natives of the island of Aran off Ireland fish from a spot that's 300 feet above the sea. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a grateful company of soldiers who saved a comrade. In Sackett's Harbor, New York, there's a structure that recalls a curious episode in the War of 1812 against the British. It concerns an American soldier, not a lofty monument to his bravery, but rather evidence of the fact he was a deserter. The soldier, facing execution for desertion, was pardoned only because he single-handedly constructed a drinking well right on the battlefield so that his thirsty comrades in arms would have fresh water, believe it or not.
Two pairs of footsteps echoed down the dark alley. They stopped, waited for Jack the Ripper to strike. But this is not London in 1888. No, this is Chicago in 1945. Yet Jack the Ripper is loose again to knife, to butcher his victims without trace. Hello, creeps. This is Peter Lorre, opening the doors of the Mystery Playhouse. If you recall, some 60 years ago, London was terrorized by a one-man crime wave, by a murderer who was never captured and never seen. And tonight, we follow the investigations of Sir Guy Hollis, who firmly believes that Jack the Ripper is still alive. That it is he who is the fiend that once again slashes and kills. There is the element of the supernatural in this story that will amaze you. For it seems that the spirit world has given the black heart of Jack the Ripper the power of everlasting life.
Time, the present. Our scene is the reception room of a well-known Chicago psychiatrist, Dr. John Comedy. Miss Tannister, the doctor's assistant, is chatting with a tall, distinguished man who is apparently waiting to consult Dr. Comedy.
But surely, Cigar, you can't believe a theory that seems so, well, astrological.
I'm afraid I do, Miss Tannister. You'll grant, Miss Tannister, that we still know very little about the life energy of the sun, about those forces which keep the planets in their spheres and keep the star from spinning astray and crashing into the Wrigley building.
Hello there.
Oh, Dr. Comedy.
I'll be with you in a moment, Mr. Hollis. Miss Tannister, will you step into my office, please?
Take your time, Doctor.
Anything to gain your patient's respect.
Well, what have I done now?
It's Sir Guy Hollis. Oh. He's a lord or a knight or anyway, not a commoner. Attached to the British consulate here.
Did you find out anything else about him?
Nothing about his mental condition. He's right out of an English movie. Mm. Only thing that's missing is a monocle. Oh, yes, and he's a bug about astrology. Mm.
Send him in. Hmm?
Mm-hmm. The doctor will see you now,
sir. Thank you. It's been a somewhat busy day, Sir Guy. Sorry you had to wait so long.
An apology a doctor need never make, sir. Most attractive office, Doctor.
That's also my home.
Oh, that explains the piano, then, and the painting.
Perhaps.
Uh-huh. What do you think of London, Doctor?
London? Why?
Have you ever noticed anything strange about it?
The fog is famous, although here in Chicago we sometimes have one to match it.
Yes, the fog. That's important. It always provides the perfect setting.
For what?
For murder.
Murder. Tell me, Sir Guy, what is a Londoner doing in Chicago discussing murder with a psychiatrist?
Have you ever heard of Jack the Ripper, Doctor?
The murderer?
The greatest monster of them all. Worse than Spring Hill Jack or Crippen, even. Red Jack. Red Jack the Ripper.
Yes, I've heard of him.
Do you know his history, Doctor?
See here, Sir Guy. Doctors are pretty much in demand these days. I assumed you were a patient, wanted my help as a psychiatrist. If you just wanted to swap old wives' tales about famous crimes, perhaps we might arrange dinner
this
some night.
This is no old wives' tale, Doctor. This is a matter of life and death.
Sorry. What is?
Well, listen. London, 1888. Out of nowhere, a shadowy figure with a knife, haunting the squalid dives of Whitechapel and Spitalfield. 6 times that night descended into the throats and bodies of London's women. 39 stab wounds, the paper said the first time. August 31st, another victim. On September 8th, watchmen making their rounds in the gray dawn stumbled across the third hacked and horrid thing.
Oh, I understand he used his knife rather well.
He was an expert doctor. And where did he learn? At the operating table, the butcher's block, some said on the police force. On November 9th, a sixth victim was found on the floor of her room.
Panic in the grandstand?
Yes, but needless panic. Months passed, a year. They said Jack had escaped to America. They said he committed suicide. They've been saying things ever since.
You tell the story very well, but I'm afraid that's all the time I can give you today, Sir Guy.
I haven't finished.
I'm anxious to hear the rest of your story.
Dr. Comedy, I am on the trail of Jack the Ripper. I've tracked him here to Chicago.
You've tracked... See here, Sir Guy. Oh, what was the date of those London murders?
1888.
Well, if Jack the Ripper were even born that year, he'd be 56 today. I'd say Red Jack would be good and dead about now.
Would he? Or should I say, would she? Because the Ripper may have been a woman, you know. Do you think I'm insane, Doctor?
No.
Well, then you might listen to my reason for thinking the Ripper is still alive. I have been studying these cases for 13 years. Talked to officials, friends of the poor drabs he killed. And then I started studying unsolved murders all over the world. followed a trail of blood. I could show you clippings from San Francisco, Shanghai, Berlin, Cairo, Milan. 87. 87 such murders. And all had the trademark of the Ripper. You remember the New Orleans torso slayings last summer?
Well, vaguely. A colleague of mine attended the hearings.
And surely you remember two recent ones here in Chicago. One out on South Durban in September, and then a few weeks ago there was another very much like it up on Posted.
Yeah.
Well, Doctor?
You're the criminologist. But figure it out, Sir Guy. If Red Jack were, say, 30 in 1888, he'd be 86 today. And no man of 86 could have butchered up that Halstead corpse.
Suppose he didn't get any older. Suppose Red Jack knew how to stay young.
But people do grow old, Sir Guy. Murderers, too. Whether they're women or butchers or scientists, they grow old.
What about sorcerers?
Who?
Necromancers, wizards, practices of black magic. Now, see here, Doctor. I have studied the dates of those 87 murders, and they have an astrological significance. Suppose Red Jack didn't murder for murder's sake alone. Suppose he wanted to make a sacrifice.
What kind of a sacrifice, Sir Guy?
It has been said that if you offer blood to the dark gods when the moon and the stars are right, they grant boons. Boons of eternal youth.
I don't understand, Sir Guy. I'm not an authority on witchcraft, nor even an amateur criminologist. Why have you come to me?
Because Jack the Ripper is here in Chicago, and through you, I am going to capture him.
Doctor.
Well, morning, Kenneth.
Well, how did his lordship turn out last night? He's the most exciting patient we've had in months.
He's not a patient, Kenneth, at least not yet.
Shouldn't he be?
No, I can't tell. He talks so convincingly. Maybe there is a shred of reality in his story. It's real enough to him, Lord knows.
Oh, excuse me, Doctor. Yeah. Dr. Carmody's office?
May I speak with Dr. Carmody, please? It's most urgent.
One moment. His lordship again.
Oh, for those. Hello?
It's Guy Hollis, Doctor.
Oh? Any new clues turn up overnight?
You're willing to go through with it?
Oh, just this minute sent my nurse out for a magnifying glass and a pair of handcuffs.
I don't think that'll be necessary, Doctor.
Now, look here, Sir Guy. How can I possibly help you?
I have good reason to believe the Ripper is among your acquaintances.
What good reason?
I'll tell you when I see you. I understand Lester Fenton, a friend of yours who writes a column for the Sun Herald, has invited you to a party tonight.
Yes, that's right. How did you know that?
I hope that you'll take me with you.
Take you with me?
I told you that I have plotted the astrological chart. The Ripper must make a sacrifice before this night passes.
Okay. How about supper first?
Splendid.
Pick me up at about 7:30.
Thanks awfully, Doctor.
Right. Bye.
Are you sure you're doing the right thing?
That's why I wanted him to suffer first. If he proves dangerous, I'll manage to sidetrack him somehow. I hope Lester is in.
I know. Hatchet murder on Polk Street.
No murder yet, Lester. But if you don't become conscious, there may be.
Oh, John.
Yes, that's right. Now, look, old man. Is it okay if I bring someone to the party tonight?
Oh, sure, John. Well, like
her? It's a guy. From the British consulate.
Well, all the better. Manpower shortage and all that.
Now, listen, Les. He's kind of a strange duck. I'm not sure yet whether his head is on right.
That's okay. Plenty of company. See you tonight.
Right. Canister, all that remains now is for Sir Guy and I to attend the party tonight and capture the Ripper.
What are you talking about?
Well, Sir Guy says the Ripper will be there tonight.
You're joking.
I am, yes. Sir Guy isn't. And perhaps he's right. But I still don't know who you're hoping to find at Lester's party tonight, Sir Guy. A few writers, a painter, a singer, all fairly normal.
How about so is the Ripper? Perfectly normal. Except on certain nights.
Mm-hmm.
Then he becomes an ageless, pathological monster crouching to kill. On evenings like tonight,
when the stars are arranged in blazing patterns of death.
But why among my friends?
Because they are the kind of people the Ripper seeks out.
But I warn you, Sir Guy, once these people find out what you're up to, you'd better be prepared for just about anything.
I'll be ready. Look.
What's that you got there? See here, Sir Guy, you can't go around among my friends with a gun in your pocket.
Oh. Then you keep it for me.
Yeah.
But be prepared to use it.
Sure. Well, come on. The party should be in full swing by now. Well, Sir Guy, are you enjoying yourself?
Immensely, John. Your friends are very charming.
Except that one of them is Jack the Ripper, huh?
Perhaps. And if I get the opportunity, I think I'll show you how we can find out.
Well, soon, I hope. It's 1 o'clock. I should be leaving.
Leaving? Leaving? Who said leaving? Are you trying to spoil my party, John?
Well, Lester, it is late.
Don't be a killjoy, John. I've hardly met our honored guest.
Oh, dear.
Are you here on a military mission, Sir Guy?
Not exactly.
Well, then, if it's not secret, is it?
Oh, not at all, Mr. Benton. I'm on the trail of Jack the Ripper.
Jack?
Well, it's rude of us to be so curious.
Sir Guy has an idea that Jack the Ripper is prowling around Chicago, Les, and he's out to find him.
Oh, really?
Sir Guy is serious.
Well, he should be, according to some old files I've read. Red Jack was something of a menace. Had some ripping good times.
Oh, Les, your puns get worse daily.
Well, then, I'll
Sir pay. Guy is sure that the Ripper is responsible for the South Dearborn murders.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the one up on Halstead a few weeks ago. You've covered them, Les. What's your idea?
Be. Very neat carving on both of them.
But the victims were men. I thought the Ripper was only interested in women.
Oh, not at all. It's probably occurred to you that the women we know the Ripper sought were fairly vivid symbols. A kind of living comment on the society which he detested.
Oh, yes.
And then just as our laws change and our society changes, so then must his victims change.
Cut out the music.
With each new age, the Ripper discovers a new symbol of protest.
But tell us, Sir Guy. Which do you hope to find here? The Ripper or the symbol?
Yes, I'm rather curious about that.
The Ripper. All right, boys and girls. We're trapped. Let's face it.
I told you he was serious.
I know, John, but what can a considerate host do?
I've got it. Laverne, let's have that bread knife there on the sideboard.
Oh, Les.
Thanks. Sir Guy has come a long way on a difficult mission, so let's give him a fair chance. I'll turn out the lights for 1 minute. And Sir Guy can stand here in the middle of the room with the bread knife. Now, if anyone here is the Ripper, they can either make a break for it or take the opportunity to, eradicate the pursuer. That's fair enough, Sir Guy?
Fair enough, Lester.
Laverne, some suitable background music, please. Something Wagnerian, you know. Now, choose your partners for the kill, ladies and gentlemen. There'll be 60 seconds of darkness for evil to make its cosmic presence known. Unchallenged, unmolested, let the Ripper ride. A minute for death, at the end of which we'll look for the bodies. Ready? All right, silence. Now, turn out the lights. Don't anyone move. Let the affirmative forces return. Let there be light.
Look there on the floor. It's Sir Guy.
My lord, he's been stabbed.
Here, let's pick up the body and get it off.
Look,
well,
I guess nobody had better touch the body.
Look.
What is it? I mean, well, doesn't Hollywood recommend the police in moments like this?
For heaven's sake, Les.
I swear, Les, I didn't want to bring him, but he insisted. He said he'd plotted the chart. Said he was certain the Ripper would use his knife before the night was out.
I don't suppose we ought to move him, do you?
What?
Well, I'll call the police.
For heaven's sake, Les.
Now, look, if you have any ideas what we should do now, Jen, I'll shoot.
Whoever goes to get the police could just as easily make a neat getaway. Lord, Les, if he was right...
No, but I wasn't, John.
Sir Guy.
Hey, wait a minute. Look at
this. Wait, I really don't think that's quite the kind of a joke we should have had.
Please, forgive me, Nadja, for frightening you so. When you were all so innocent.
What is it, Guy?
Hold it, everybody.
Are you sure about our innocence, Sir Guy?
Oh, yes. You see, if the Ripper were here, he would have betrayed himself when he saw me lying there. Not a very gentle spoof, I'm afraid.
Sure, sure it was.
Gentle like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, come on, let's get a drink. Huh? Let's get away from the
comic. Well, John, we leave? It's getting rather late.
Yes, Sir Guy. Oh, you can shut your mouth now, Nadia. The game's over.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I'll get your coats. Thanks. Well, goodbye, everyone, and forgive me if I gave you an unnecessary scare.
Oh, they've forgotten about it already, Sir Guy.
Good night, Les. Thanks.
Don't mention it, John. Come around again, Sir Guy.
I'd like to. Good night, Les.
Good night.
I suppose you're thinking that I'm guilty of the same sort of sensational tricks as our friend the Ripper, but I want only to rid the world of a devilish fiend who lives by the blood of others.
As Les said, they've all forgotten it by now.
Well, I guess I was wrong to seek him out as a party. You know, we're far more likely to find him out here in the darkness and the fog, perhaps along a lonely, shadowed street such as this, or perhaps in a neglected dead end, like this one here.
Not Sir Guy.
Please, do me one more favor. It's only a hunch, but let's turn up this alley. See what it has to offer. Remember, the Ripper must make a sacrifice tonight.
Well, as long as I've gone this far.
Thanks, Ambo. Yes, this is what the Ripper likes. Small, gaping alleyway. Hardly noticeable for the rest of the city. It'll be in a hidden corner like this where I'll capture him. And I'll turn the bloody swine over to the police. He's a mad beast, Jug. An ageless monster let loose on the world.
There's nothing up here to die.
No, just to the end of the alley, John. And we'll turn back, I promise.
Look, Sir Guy, don't you think this is carrying a hobby a little too far?
A hobby, John? In 1888, one of those nameless drabs the Ripper killed was my mother. Yes. My father spent his life searching for the Ripper. Caught up with him, too, about 1926 in Hollywood, where he was stabbed in a brawl. The police never learned who it was. But I know it was the Ripper. And I'll live till I find him. I swear I will. Let me have my gun now, John. We've left your friends, and I feel safer with my gun on me.
I'll see here, Sir Guy.
No, please, John. Now, let me carry the gun. Now, let me have it, John. Please.
All right. You insist.
John, it's not a gun, it's a knife.
I know.
John. John, what are you doing?
Never mind the John. Only Jack.
No, no.
Lester. Canister. I didn't get you out of bed, did I? Yes, the police picked John up this morning. Sir Guy? Oh, he's dead, all right. That's horrible, Les. Well, of course he's in a cell. All right, Les, I'm going in now and talk to John. Insane? Of course he must be. Right, Les, I'll meet you here at the jail. My time's up now, John. I better be going.
Just one more thing, Canister. For some reason, I want you to understand. You see, Sir Guy was right. I did have to make an offering before the night was over. I didn't want for it to be him, Canister. But up there in that alley, I realized he was as determined as I. No, Canister, I still wonder who at that party was astute enough to send the police after me so quickly. Lester, perhaps. The police won't tell me, but I'll find out, Canister. And if it was Lester, he'll know I found out.
But what difference can it make now?
Oh, the police haven't won yet, Canister. The gods won't let me down. They never have. Sir Guy was right about that, too. I am eternal. I have no age, you know. I never shall.
Well, I'll be going.
I'll miss you.
Bye, John.
Bye, Canister.
Lester.
Canister, I've died 10 times over.
Why, Les? He stayed today. The charge, you know.
I still died 10 times over.
He suspected it was you who called the police.
As long as he doesn't suspect, you put me wise. Now, will you tell me how you found out about it?
I was emptying the wastebasket after Comley left last night for the party.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered a lot of astrological plotting in his handwriting. And that Englishman's words, I couldn't forget them. Comley just told me the gods won't permit him to be executed. He thinks he really is Jack the Ripper. He's insane, Les.
Oh, and I was afraid you'd say that.
Well, what do you mean? Any doctor will tell you he is insane.
I know they will. They'll also tell the jury.
So?
So, the law doesn't execute the insane. It allows them to live.
You mean?
Who knows, Canister? Who knows?
Comfortable thought, isn't it? Dr. Carmody may die for his crimes, but Jack the Ripper will live on. Oh, well, spirits are hard to kill, unless they come in a bottle. Now for our next production, we have something much less exciting. Oh, only 17 shots, or a mob of crooks outsmarting each other for a paltry $200,000. Two murderers, and Simon Templar, better known as the Saint. Follow me to the green room for a preview. Right this way. Come, come. Come, come.
You know, Horace, you really should have told me sooner.
Told you what?
The police headquarters have been moved to a Long Island mansion like this. It's quite a shock to a hard-working taxpayer like me.
You better start getting used to shocks, Bub.
Oh, Mr. Nash. The judge is expecting you.
Go on in. I wish you wouldn't be spotting me with that rust, old Horace. It is tickled.
This way, sir.
Why, cozy little stump. Isn't it, Horace?
My name is not Horace.
In here, please. Judge Stryker, Mr. Natten is back, sir.
Ah, yes, yes. Come in. You might as well lock the door, Natten.
Right, sir.
Sit down, Mr. Templar. So you are the famous gentleman known as the Saint, are you?
Sometimes my friends call me that.
Yes. Mr. Templar, we are faced here with a serious matter, a very serious matter.
So it would seem.
So serious, in fact, that I have been obliged to adopt rather extraordinary measures to deal with it.
Like sending around a phony dick to pick me up for?
You knew he was a phony?
My dear fat-headed friend, you didn't really think that Horace over there could successfully impersonate an officer of the law, did you?
Why, I...
Shall we get down to business?
Very well. You have in your possession a certain diary containing statements and suggestions which I hardly need say are wholly untrue.
That is the statement that when you held a fine job in Washington, you dreamed up the high-tor oil swindle and got away with it.
Fabrication from beginning to end.
And that you and your associates now control about 90% of the black market.
It's lies, every one of them.
Naturally. That's why you're so anxious to have them suppressed.
The fact remains that their publication might seriously damage the character and financial standing of certain reputable members of the community.
Especially including you.
It's for that reason and that reason alone that I am prepared to ascertain what value you place on this volume.
What's your offer?
Shall we say $10,000? May I ask you what you find so funny about $10,000?
Oh, nothing. Nothing under ordinary circumstances. But you must admit that in this case, it is a little ridiculous.
And what would you suggest?
$200,000, Judge Stryker.
What did you
you say?
You heard me. I said $200,000.
You're insane.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Judge. I'm going to set up a foundation. The Simon Templar Foundation for the Rehabilitation of Wounded War Veterans. It will have a capital of $1 million. Your share will be exactly one-fifth. Do I make myself clear?
By heaven, you'll change your tune before you ever get out of this house.
Don't try to get your gun, Horace. See, I always carry a spare, and I'm an excellent shot. So especially, you should remember that I always have something up my sleeve. Now, take your gun out, very slowly, by the muzzle. Drop it. Thank you. Now, you can draw at me. That's right. And now, if you'll be good enough to unlock the door.
Go on, open it.
That's a good little boy.
You'll hear from me again, Templar.
Oh, I'm quite certain of it. In fact, I shall expect to have your check by Saturday morning. Good night, Judge.
Yes, they call him the Robin Hood of modern crime. But even a Robin Hood is not immune when powerful interests concern themselves with arranging for the sudden death of the saint. So with these gentle thoughts, this is Peter Lorre closing the doors of the Mystery Playhouse. Until next time, good night. Sleep tight. Forces Radio Service.